I like this move, given the price, more than I like the Davante Adams move. I don't think Amari is better than Davante, but he's 1/11th the cost, and they have, in my opinion, double the need. I think that while McDermott, his defense can get exposed in the playoffs, over the bulk of a season, he's going to get the most out of his defensive players. And Josh Allen is going to give you top five production over the course of a season. And so I think it's a great move for Buffalo.
Nick Wright. Everybody likes the move.
I don't even know what the argument would be against it other than you just think he's shot.
You want that third round pick for other things. It's about it. The need is so great, obviously. The need has been great. Everyone knew it. Everyone could see it.
Yeah. He's 30 years old. Like, that is that the problem? The age? The drops? Hey, let TRS Heating and Air Conditioning intercept your heating bills. Enter now, WGR550.com. Chance to win $1,200. TRS contest ends January 5th. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today.
I have an Amari Cooper trivia question, but I'm going to get to Tim in Dallas because he was on earlier, and he called back, and we're going to go to Tim. Hey, Tim, good morning. Oh, are you there, Tim?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
You are. What's up, Tim?
I love the show, guys, by the way. Great segment and a great breakdown of Amari Cooper. If a lot of fans don't know him, it kind of reminds me when he went to Dallas and Dak didn't know what he had out on the outside as a weapon. But, you know, he eventually started finding him 3-4 games.
Uh-oh.
So, I'm here. I'm sorry.
There you go.
But, yes, I just feel like, I don't know, question, man. Do you feel like we're missing one more piece to the puzzle if we're trying to make a run for the deep in the playoffs? Because you remember Allen when he was playing at a high level the year we lost to Kansas City, and he had that phenomenal game. So we had, like, four different guys he was throwing to, you know, and they were good receivers. So I just want to get your opinion. I know it's a great acquisition, but I feel like we're missing one more guy to this offense.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. I mean, I had the same thought, that they don't have to be done. They could add another piece if they really needed to. This kind of gets them to where they realistically needed to be at a baseline for me.
You know, they're kind of back to where they were a year ago.
Right, and year ago, I thought they need to be better at receiver. So, I don't know if they need to make another move because Shakir, the blossoming has happened.
That's different than a year ago.
That's right.
Because Diggs and Shakir were never playing great at the same time.
That's right. And Coleman is upside for me. Like, there's a lot to think that Coleman can be used for. And, I mean, maybe they won't ever put him inside in the slot. A lot of people think he would be good there. And if
they take Shakir off the field, though, if you do that.
Just rotate him in. I mean, Shakir doesn't play 100% of the snaps. Samuels had that instead of having Coleman play on the outside 100% of the time, which is what they've done.
Right.
They gave him 20% of the snaps in the slot.
Right, okay, yeah.
And the other thing I'm thinking about here is, you know, the 12 versus 11 personnel. One of the things I had said yesterday was, I really need to never see Dawson Knox lined up out wide again. It happened in the Jet game. I just never need to see it. He caught a touchdown. Like, he can be my backup or my inline tight end. But putting him out wide is telling the entire defense this side of the field will not be used. And I don't think that's a good idea. You just you're telegraphing this. And the Bills, my biggest snark of yesterday was Amari Cooper. Think of him like a wide receiver. Right? Finally, you actually acquire a wide receiver to play wide receiver instead of a tight end that you want us to think of like a receiver. But if we did, his numbers are terrible. Again, like, that's Kincaid. Kincaid's numbers by wide receiver standards are not good. By tight end standards, they're fine. Think of James Cook like a receiver. No! I don't think like a receiver. And they did that when they got Amari Cooper. So I'm happy about that. I think that gets them to the baseline of what a Josh Allen offense should be. Multiple receivers that are good. And right now I'm at Shakir and Cooper are good, definitely good to above average. And Coleman is an upside guy. Samuel,
Samuel is like just lost in the wilderness until maybe he gets healthier than he is right now.
I just think he's stuck in the gadget role. The Bills with Dorsey and now Brady, they get stuck with guys as a gadget.
But like the gadget's not working.
But this thing, like, think about Deontay Hardy. When the Bills signed Deontay Hardy last year,
right,
tons of his highlights were throws over the top from Jameis Winston. Like, this guy can stretch the field. How did they use him? Gadget. He's a punt-returning gadget.
And then eventually they just didn't.
Right.
Yeah.
They use their fast guys as gadgets instead of just receivers. Like, make that guy a receiver.
But
so.
even that, like, that's an interesting point, too, because, like, I agree with you. The Hardy was this, and Samuel is a greater version of this. Samuel can do gadget stuff, but he is signed to $8 million a year because he does everything for you. He does a lot of different things for you. But even just focus on the gadget part. The gadget part's not working. And it didn't work with the few times maybe they tried it with Hardy. They did have that working when they had Isaiah McKenzie. But what lines up with that? Since Dable left, the gadget role in this offense does not do anything. Right? So even if you want to demote Curtis Samuel to, well, we're just going to do this stuff with him. Well, you haven't proven you can do this stuff since Brian Dable was your offensive coordinator. And Isaiah McKenzie's a fine player, but Curtis Samuel should be able to do the things that he did. So that's a player, though, that I still want to believe the foot is bothering him. He's been too good a player in the past. Better than what he's been this year, by leaps and bounds. Knowing he just had his best week of the year on a Monday. So, like, I feel good about all of it. I think it just all slots in well. Suddenly, to me, Samuel feels more like a bonus if he suddenly finds out, you know, finds something a little bit later in the year. And if I can get to the end of the year where Cooper is about as good as he was last year for the Browns, and Shakir is about as good as he was at the beginning of the year, Coleman doesn't even have to explode for me. Just Coleman, be okay, make a play here and there.
A rookie upside guy.
Be a rookie upside guy, and Curtis Samuel can he get to 70% of what he was for the Commanders? Because that would be great. Then I've got a good receiving core, and I've got, you know what? That combination, it's the optimistic view on every player, but that combination is better than what the Bills had at the end of last year at receiver.
803-0550. Quick Amari Cooper trivia, then we'll switch gears a little bit. I have a Sabres call to get to. I know I preview tonight's game a little bit. But you want some Amari Cooper instant trivia?
What do we got?
Top 10 receiving... What do I want here? Top 5. We'll do top 5.
Okay.
Receiving touchdowns at Alabama. While at Alabama. Amari Cooper is second. He had 31 touchdowns at Alabama. He went fourth overall.
Okay.
Who are the rest of the top 5? Receiving touchdowns at Alabama.
Okay. Man, he only played there, I think, 2 years?
2012 to 2014, yep. 31 in 2 years.
Wow. Julio Jones.
Julio Jones is not correct. He had 15 in 2 years. That's a good guess.
Okay. Devontae Smith.
Number one.
Yeah.
46 touchdowns.
That's insane. I mean, he won the Heisman as a wide receiver, so okay.
Smith 1, Cooper 2.
How about is Henry Ruggs going to be right here?
Fourth. Okay. Henry Ruggs, 24 touchdowns, 2 years.
Oh, who's that receiving core? This was like a Tua point early in his career. He was only good at Alabama because he had NFL receivers. So it would have been Smith, Ruggs, and...
You'll get it.
Who's the third? Is it not Waddle?
Waddle is eighth. He was there. The overlap on some of these guys is crazy.
I know.
Like in 2018, you had Devonta Smith, Henry Ruggs, Jalen Waddle, and this guy who's third with 26 touchdowns.
Oh, so there were four at the same time?
In 2018, they had four NFL receivers on their roster. And number five had just left.
Oh, man. So is he good in the NFL?
He's a disappointment. Currently plays...
He's a disappointment.
Former teammate of Amari Cooper in the NFL.
Oh, CeeDee Lamb.
No.
No, that's Oklahoma. Former teammate of Amari Cooper.
Very freshly.
Oh, Jerry Jeudy.
Jerry Jeudy, third.
Jerry Jeudy.
And then fifth, with 19 touchdowns in 2 years.
Robert Foster.
No.
That's not correct. I know that's not correct. He was from Alabama, but he probably didn't do anything. And it's definitely a wide receiver, right? This isn't going to be like a running back or a tight end?
It's a wide receiver, yeah.
Okay.
Currently in the NFL, story of his week is he didn't catch any balls.
Story of his week is he didn't catch any balls. Who didn't catch any balls? Who had zero catches?
Zero.
And is he a top like fantasy guy?
He's a disappointment.
He's a disappointment. Who's a disappointment?
You'll get a good look at him this week.
Oh. Calvin Ridley?
Yep.
Calvin Ridley.
Calvin Ridley, right. Fifth. Waddle, eighth. Julio Jones, 10th. Jameson Williams, 11th. Jermaine Burton, 12th. And John Mechie. Yeah. Najee Harris, 11 receiving touchdowns, way down the board.
I thought I was going to get to like a TJ Yeldon there or something. That I was trying to find a good name for this. I don't know if there is one. Like for how long ago Amari Cooper played college football, even though he's only 30. Like TJ Yeldon was the running back at Alabama. Eddie Lacy was at Alabama. Wow. Remember him?
Yeah.
He's been on the league for like 7 years, right? Really, you think about it, all those Bama receivers are maybe not as good as you thought they were going to be.
I don't know. I mean,
Julio was a Hall of Famer.
Waddle's good. Devonta Smith is really good.
Waddle's good, but Waddle has not really been... I don't know. I had higher hopes. I thought he was going to be like a top 10, 5 receiver, and maybe that's just Tyreek Hill's in front of him.
That's part of it.
But he's always on and off the field. But maybe this is just a fantasy point, because I've had him in fantasy, and he's been a disappointment.
Yeah. 803-0550. Go back to the phones here. Paul in Buffalo. Good morning, Paul.
I see no reason not to be optimistic, because if I've learned anything from the New York Mets, is that a season can turn on a dime. And they were once 22-33, 11 games under 500. And the great Francisco Lindor called a team meeting, pinned a leadoff, and they've been going on all cylinders since then. Personally, I don't know if it was a year ago or 2 years ago, but I called for Dahlin to throttle one of his forwards on this radio station. And, well, he throttled one of his forwards. And you never know what can galvanize a team. So, you know, let's see it. And you know, props to Jordan Greenway, who I've said many times, 2 out of 10 games, he looks like a superstar. We've seen him look like a superstar. Let's see him look like a superstar again. Then let's see him look like a superstar again. If Lindy can get consistency out of Jordan Greenway, he can really change the dynamic of this team, because besides being capable, he also is a physically imposing man that scares other NHL hockey players. Make no doubt about it. Everyone in the league knows he went toe-to-toe with Tom Wilson at the end of last year. So here's to hoping. And I think we have maybe a goalie battle, because Devin Levi looks so good so far this year. So let's go, Sabres. I flip my flag back to right side up. So, you know, you got me for now. Have a good day, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
The goalie point, I definitely agree.
Listen, the thing about the goalie point is that they paid Lukanen, and yeah.
That's fine. You can pay Lukanen, but if Levi is winning you games and is the better goaltender like midway through the year, then he's your starting goaltender.
Yeah.
Does that happen to Boston? Boston paid Linus Allmark. Jeremy Swayman was the kid. Took him 2 years. So a little longer. But eventually, who was the starting goalie? Jeremy Swayman. And then you trade him. That's not a bad result, by the way. That's not a bad outcome. It could go the exact same way. I mean, I don't want to compare it every time to that, but it just feels so similar to what Boston did. And what did Boston do? They had 2 good goalies, and it'll come time to pay Levi eventually if he continues to play amazing, and you'll have to make a decision. Do you want 2 highly paid goalies? Or if Lukanen is still playing well, it's not a bad problem to have. But man, yeah, I'm all in on Levi right now. Every sign in the world to me says he's going to be a star goalie in the league. And that might be happening right now. It's only 2 games. But goals saved above expected, I think he's already like top 5 in the league.
Well, it'd be nice if they...
In total, not even like per 60, like total, and he's only played 2 games.
It'd be nice if they sustained a little bit of momentum. You know, the win on Saturday is cool. It's great. Win some road games, beat some bad teams.
And also, Pittsburgh is a team you're probably fighting for a playoff spot with down the stretch of the year. So I'd like the Sabres to win some season series against teams they're going to be in direct competition with.
Yeah.
You're going to be fighting with Pittsburgh. Beat them 3 times this year, and you'll have a lot better chance of making the playoffs. You're stealing points from them. It's down the road, but you're probably not getting a top three spot in your division. You're probably fighting with teams in the other division for wildcard spots. And this is one of the teams you should probably expect you'll be fighting with in 5 months for a wildcard spot, if you're good.
Fireman Ed says the Jets are phasing him out of their games. I thought he quit a couple years ago.
I think they brought him back, though.
Yeah.
I saw him on the screen a couple times at the stadium on Monday. Not like a ton. It's not like every third down or anything. They're phasing him out?
That's what he claims. Says something's going on with the production at the team level at the stadium. They're showing him less and less.
Is it Rodgers?
Maybe.
Rodgers wants him off the screen. Man, they really... You like the trade for them, Adams?
I don't
dislike it.
I absolutely like it. It's how the NFL should be. It's how your fantasy league is.
Yeah.
Fantasy and reality don't have to be too far apart. It's the NFL trade deadline has, I mean, the deadline's a month away, or a little less than a month away, but hockey, the deadline is the lamest thing on earth.
Oh, it's so lame now.
And it gets so much attention. Ooh, they got a fourth line guy to win a faceoff for a future seventh. Congratulations. Amari Cooper and Devontae Adams just got traded.
Mm-hmm. No, the NFL deadline blows away the NHL.
Yeah, we now have normalization of NFL trades. It used to be, whoa, why can't we do this? And the answer was, well, it takes too much time to get ready. Forget that. This is how it should be. And if you're a team with the longest playoff drought in sports, and you're like 2-4, man, it's not gone well for us. But look at the AFC. We might not be the Bills or the Texans or the Ravens or the Chiefs, but who else is there?
Is that their bar, though? Like, is it different? Like, I don't want to compare them to I'll compare them to the Sabres. They're the two teams in North American sports with the longest playoff droughts. The difference to me might be, Sabres made the playoffs this year. Nobody is going to care in the world what they do when they get there. Do the Jets consider it a success if they just squeak in?
They should. They should.
I don't know they will, though.
Making the playoffs is good.
What's the condition they put in the trade for Adams? The condition was they make the AFC Championship game.
Right, which they probably won't have to pay. So even better.
Right.
They get him for a third?
But that's... The owner every week is talking about how his roster is built to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, that guy might be delusional.
He probably is. But I mean, that's where, like, this is why I kind of like the trade, is if the team fails, it won't be because of the Adams trade, but, man, I would love so much to see the Rodgers criticism after. And there will be no excuses. They're giving him everything he wants.
Yeah.
They've turned over the team to him. He makes a comment about Mike Williams in postgame about how he ran the wrong route. And did anyone else think, well, interesting, Rodgers throwing a teammate under the bus the next day he's replaced?
Yep.
Rodgers' fingerprints is on every single thing that's happening in that organization. What? And if it doesn't work, oh, it's going to be so golden.
Oh, if it doesn't work, we'll be what, the Jets still? Like, what's the alternative life?
Well, then they'll be starting over again, which is fine. Right.
That's like the Sabres. Don't make this trade. Well, what if we make the playoffs? What if you don't? We're living the same life.
I'm not saying that I think it's a bad move for them. I'm saying that it does set up Rodgers to be embarrassed further if the whole thing doesn't work.
Well, I'm good for that, too.
Yeah.
Did you see the Eagles and Bengals got flexed out of a 425 window for...
Wait, what did? Eagles and Bengals?
Eagles-Bengals got moved out of a 425 big window.
Oh, it better be good, because that's a decent matchup, right? Eagles-Bengals?
Yeah, they're two pretty annoying teams.
But it's not like it's the Panthers.
No, Eagles-Bengals flexed out. Flexed in?
Oh, it's going to be Chiefs, right?
No, better. It's a good one. It's a good move.
Flexed in is going to be... Is it a Ravens game?
Nope.
What is that? I haven't looked at the schedule this week.
I don't know if it's this week. When is it?
Oh.
NFL week 8, maybe. It's because you got to do 10 days in advance. I believe it is week 8. Yeah, Eagles-Bengals is now 1 o'clock, and moving from 1 o'clock to the 425 window is Bears-Commanders.
Oh.
Let's go.
That's a good call. That's a great call.
Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels?
Yes.
Let's go.
That's a great, great call. Did you see the top four teams in the NFC in point differential are all in the NFC North?
Yeah. And they have not
or
played.
Or maybe in the league. Maybe it's in the league.
It's the whole league.
Yeah, it's the whole league.
It's the whole league.
Wow. And the Commanders' offense is like the funnest thing to watch.
It's a wagon. Yeah. And
that's a great decision.
And their defense is terrible.
That's such a good decision. Yep. I don't need to see the Eagles.
No, you don't.
And their goon of a coach trolling his own fans on the sidelines. Did you see that?
I did.
What? What would it be like? I do actually, you know, the absurdity of it. I would like to know what it's like for a coach like that to be your team's coach.
And now,
how are you supposed to feel after you win a game where you kind of stunk, right? You barely beat the Browns.
Yep.
And then your coach is parading up and down the sidelines like a lunatic, trolling your own fans.
And then in the postgame, bringing his child to sit in his lap as like, like a human shield. That's what a lot of the takeaway was. I saw maybe it was Chris Canty, somebody on one of the debate shows. Maybe it was Marcus Spears, like, Bush League move.
Yeah.
Derek points out when it's Bears Commanders, the Bills play at Seattle that day, so it's now a competing game, so maybe it's not as good. But whatever, it's better for everybody else. Red zone for the
collective. Yeah.
803-0550, Sabres and Penguins tonight. Exciting. Get a win. Get things rolling. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
How does Cooper change this passing game for Josh Allen?
This is a more impactful trade than the Davante Adams trade.
Ooh, really?
And I would say that across the league, because what it does is it gives stability to this offense. Like, we've applauded Josh Allen and this offense for their ability to spread the ball around. But we've seen in moments throughout the season where they've missed Stephon Diggs. Mm-hmm. They don't have a single receiver that they can hang their hat on in moments where, to your point, Swaggo, they need a playmaker. Cooper does that. Not only that, you ensure you win the division because they're going to beat the Jets, and the Jets make their move, then the Bills make their move.
Hawk, you are coming out firing right now.
And you keep them away from your
Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
The hump you can't get over to the Super Bowl. So, again, I think this is the most impactful trade between this and the Davante Adams trade.
Andrew Hawkins on ESPN. Ho-hum, just traded for a receiver. Where are all the bean sunglasses pictures? I didn't see nearly enough. By the way,
that we should do that more than when they sign like Christian Kirksey.
Yeah. Do you want your flyover information? I've got sources to indicate for Sunday's game, which is going to be beautiful. We're looking at four F-18s as the flyover. Had a source tell me that, and then we have Dave who sent in a tweet from the Southtown Scanner. That Sunday it'll be four F-18 Hornet fighter jets to pass over the stadium in formation.
Let's go. Four of them?
The Navy fighter jets, yep.
All right.
So that's the plan for Sunday, it would appear.
Beautiful. What was week one again? It was the big air tanker?
Yeah, the KC-135 Strato tanker, I believe.
Wow, you remember the exact plane and everything.
I got a source. I got a guy.
If I opened up your YouTube app, is the suggested videos going to be just plain videos?
Boy, what's my YouTube app suggested? It's going to be monster trucks is what it's going to be. Tons of monster trucks.
Right.
Always with the monster trucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
803-0550.
Mine's going to be all golf streams, basically. Just YouTube golf streamers. It's like all I watch now.
How many more weeks we got of golf? Three? Trying to get some in this weekend.
Yep.
It'd be nice out again
in this week.
Fall golf.
I would take three. Yeah. Give me three more weeks and maybe you can sneak a round in after that somewhere in November.
Yeah.
Give me one November golf round. And I think I'll be okay.
803-0550. We'll get Bob in Syracuse. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning, guys. So I was just thinking about what the Jets really did here. And it's kind of like going for it on 4th and 50. So you just signed Davante Adams. Next year in December, he's going to be 33 years old. Okay, you paid $11 million for him. You just made two coaching changes, and you have the inmate running the asylum in Rodgers. And if they somehow lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers this weekend, this team is toast for this year. So I don't see, this is a desperate, everyone says, they're getting Davante Adams. Yeah, but you lose this weekend, and this just kind of washes all away.
Right, but what are you going to do instead? You're not going to rebuild, start over.
And regarding what they gave him, if I understand it correctly, they gave him 2 years, but there's a out if they want to get out, and the cap hit is $8 million. Like, they can just get out after this year if they really want to, so see how it goes, and then reevaluate.
Yeah, but you know, I think it's a desperation move by the Jets.
That's fair. Bob,
Sometimes desperation moves are called for, though.
That's what I'm one to say that desperation is not always a weakness. Desperation should sometimes be viewed as necessary. Let's be real. The Amari Cooper trade is a desperation move. They are desperate for a receiver. It is a good desperation move.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't always want to treat a desperation move as bad. The Sabres have been desperate for moves for like a decade and decided to never be desperate. Oh, you don't want to appear desperate. Okay. With the Jets, they don't have to win the Super Bowl. I mean, we sit here and we have a good time with a team that is yet to win the Super Bowl. We believe that they can, and maybe Jets fans don't believe that they can. I don't believe that they can. But if Adams gives them offensively a boost, now they have Garrett Wilson and Davante Adams, that's pretty good. You don't have to be totally cooked when you're 30. The Bills guy is 30. Diggs is producing at 30. Mike Evans is producing at these big, you know, later ages. So you can't go get perfect players all the time. I'm fine with what the Jets did. It's, to me, it's the same vein as the Rams when they went out and traded for Beckham and Von Miller. Now, they got away with it and they won, but at least they did it. I defended, as stupid as it was, like when the Blue Jackets traded all those picks to try and do something, because you're the Columbus Blue Jackets, you know? Go for it. Go do something. Not every move has to be, oh, well, how does this line up for this and this and this? There's plenty of cap space. These teams have endless amounts of room. You don't have to worry about the cap unless you get into a year where the Bills are in right now, and then you only have to worry about it for 5 minutes. Like the Bills will restructure Josh Allen and will have $100 million in cap space next year. Right now, like, look at Davante Adams' cap hits for the Jets. Actually, what I was doing this earlier. So Amari Cooper, you know how cheap he was for the Bills, right?
Yeah.
This is how different the cap is in the NFL versus like the NHL. Do you know the contract that Amari Cooper is finishing out right now?
It's like 20-something million a year.
5 years, $100 million.
Yeah.
And his cap hit for the team he's on right now is $800,000.
Right.
His cap hits by year. Here's Amari Cooper's cap hits by year in that five-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
12, 22, 5, 23, $800,000.
It
seems like a system that's just worth saying, like, you know, for people that say the cap isn't real, what they mean is you can do whatever you want with this cap. You could do, honestly, anything you want. $800,000 on the cap for Amari Cooper. On a guy that's
almost anything, because they might have Davante Adams on the team right now if they could really do anything they wanted.
That's right. Yeah. But he's making $100 million on a five-year contract, and his cap hit for the team he's on is $800,000.
Right.
So, I don't know. I don't think it's bad for what the Jets have done for Rodgers. I don't think it's terrible they fired their coach. They're the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
We used to be the Jets. Kind of. We used to be try something, do something.
Yeah,
and when they ended the drought, what did we think? I know it's the Bills versus the Jets. We had parades down our streets, and then they went to Jacksonville and scored 3 points, and we didn't care because, for God's sakes, we're back in the league a little bit. And the Jets, you know, it's pretty rough. It's a rough life.
Would you pick them to make the playoffs right now?
Yeah, I think I would. Can I give you their schedule?
Sure.
Because,
well, you give me their schedule. You look at the AFC standings right now, and you get to seven teams. Like, all right, they're not making it.
That's what I mean. Like, you have four good teams, and then dog water.
Like Jaguars, Patriots, Browns, Titans, Raiders, Dolphins, Broncos, Colts.
Terrible.
I just named eight teams. Wouldn't you be floored if any single one of them made the postseason?
I might give the Colts a chance if they play Flacco.
Okay, the Colts. The Bengals are 2-4. I didn't throw them in that mix.
Sure. But here's the Jets' schedule, okay? You give me just your knee-jerk reaction, win-loss. Steelers.
Loss.
Okay. Patriots.
Win.
Texans. They're at home.
Loss.
Cardinals.
Win.
Colts. Home.
Win.
Seahawks. Home.
Win.
Dolphins.
Win.
Jaguars.
Win.
That's 9 wins.
Okay.
They're 9-8 at worst.
Yeah.
Rams. At home.
Win.
10. Bills.
Loss.
Dolphins.
What should I do with the Dolphins?
Home.
Should I
have Dolphins them home. You already had them win the first one. Home Dolphins.
All right, win.
10-7.
Okay.
With losses to the Steelers and Cardinals.
Yeah. I did give them two Dolphin wins.
You did. What are the Dolphins at this point?
So that's the thing. I have no idea when how many of those games is Tua playing, because that impacts the division. They're right now, they are second place in the division.
That's right. They are. And for what it's worth, like, the Bills won that stupid game. What if they don't call holding and it's 27-20 and the Jets have won, and we're looking at the Jets schedule thinking, like, man, you got to – the Bills have a much tougher road for a division that's tied.
Yeah.
Kansas City, San Francisco, you know – So I think they
can get in. They can definitely get in.
I think the AFC could have a team get in at 8-9 this year.
Yeah, that might be right.
And if you get in as 8-9, it's not a, you know, that's a very Steelers thing to do.
Their season also is really being talked about in this way because they lost to Denver at home.
And losing to Denver at home the way they did. How did they lose?
They lost on a late missed field goal.
They missed the kick.
Yeah.
Yep. Zuerlein had a kick and he missed it. He makes that kick. They're 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
And you're calling them to get 11 wins. So I just don't think it's over for them. If they lose to the Steelers, which...
See, the thing about, like, even I picking them to win that many games, that's kind of what the Denver game is for me. They feel like a team right now that could lose to anybody.
That's right. But it's like if Aaron Rodgers, it's worth trying to win.
Like, the Bills, I still feel pretty comfortable are a team. When they play bad teams, they're gonna win it. They're gonna have the answers. They blow out bad teams for years. The Jets, I feel like they could struggle against everybody because I don't know what they're really elite at other than their secondary. Well, like, their secondary's elite. The run game, maybe the receiver should be the answer now.
Yep.
They have on paper that should be one of the best receiving cores in football.
Make it not Aaron Rodgers for a moment. Make it Drew Brees in his one last stand, or Matt Ryan one last stand, and you have a need at receiver, and he's like, "What about Davante Adams?" You'd be like, "Why not? We went down. We have the old quarterback. The only thing to do is to try and do everything for this quarterback." I know we like to make fun of them, and I'm happy to do it. That Rodgers runs the franchise, and he's not quite what he was, but it was also the best he looked. If I'm a Jets fan and they just went toe to toe with the Bills and watched that game, I'm thinking maybe Adams can make a difference instead of Mike Williams, who, no thanks. So we'll see how it goes. If it crashes and burns, I mean, I'll celebrate with all of you. But I don't have a problem with them making it. I applaud them making the move. I think they should have. And desperation for them, desperation for the Bills, both these moves were a little bit desperate. And I think it's good in both cases. 803-0550. How'd you make up this Buffalo Devil Rays logo?
AI, baby.
Nice.
AI image generator. So the Rays, like, need to figure out where they're playing because Hurricane Milton destroyed the roof of the field, and they're building a new stadium. So I guess the talk is what's the point of throwing all that money at fixing the roof when you're going to be moving in a couple years anyway? So they need a place to play. And I pointed out that there's a ballpark here in town that just got updated to MLB standards like 2 years ago.
Well,
3 years ago.
Fair.
But they'd have to move across the country up the country.
Right. Toronto came close to home when they came here.
Yeah.
Tampa.
And that fit as it was their major league team. Yeah. Or their farm team. Yeah.
803-0550.
They have to go somewhere.
That's right.
I actually read a story about it. You know where they might go if they could try to. I think that's what they're going to try to do, is find somewhere local that they could pour money into to bring up the standards. The other option is Montreal.
Yikes.
Because the team, I guess the Rays have already, do you remember stories about this last couple years?
They were going to split home and home.
They were going to split. Yeah, they were going to play like half their home games or maybe a quarter of their home games in Montreal and the rest in Tampa.
And that didn't happen.
No, it didn't happen. But they've already had talks with Montreal about this in the past, so they might just go play in Montreal for a year or two.
Okay.
If they do that, should they not call themselves the Expos for 2 years?
Sure.
Hey guys, the Montreal Expos are going to return for 2 years.
Works for me. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up, top of the hour. It's Jeremy and Joe. If you're on hold, stay there. Get your calls and catch up here on WGR.
Tune in to WGR each Bills game day during the regular season, 2024 season, for your chance to answer our tailgate trivia question presented by Game Day Hospitality. Your chance to win two VIP tickets to Game Day Hospitality's Red Zone tailgate party. Tickets include food, drink, entertainment, and access to the VIP tent. Visit our contest page, WGR550.com, for details.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, what are we going to get today? Any other big moves that we can see? Not going to happen today, probably. But the deadline is in a couple of weeks. One thing that maybe should be mentioned here about the Cooper trade that's interesting and it's different from the Adams trade. Had the Bills even got the Raiders to pull in some salary and traded for Adams, because of his salary, you can't, that would be it. Financially, just that's it. You find a way to pull that off, you are scraping by. So that's it. That's your move. And the likelihood is this is the Bills' big move. But because Cooper cost $800,000, the Bills, at least financially, they'd have to be willing to pay more picks. But for the money, they could do more. If they decided, what would be the other move? Well, really, the other move is a kicker. That was something that really I experienced on the stadium on Monday night, is both teams' disdain for their kicker. That would be the one. If you want to try your way, find your way to another kicker, maybe you trade a seventh to some team for their veteran kicker. Some bad team. Tennessee, this week. Nick Folk is the name I always go to because he's like 38, 39, and doesn't really hit from distance, but he's super accurate inside of that. And you called Tennessee up, who's like out of the playoff picture in a few weeks, said, hey, you want to trade Nick Folk for a seventh? Like, why would they say no? So maybe that's the move. And you could do that more freely now because Cooper didn't cost any money. Hey, listen to Chopin Bulldog all week for your chance to win tickets to see Disturbed with special guest Daughtry and Nothing More at KeyBank Center on Friday, April 4th. Courtesy of Live Nation, tickets go on sale Friday, October 8th at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. All right, Jeremy Joe will be back tomorrow morning. We'll have a Browns guest. We'll talk with Paul after the Sabres game tonight against Pittsburgh. Stay tuned. Extra Point Joe is on the way next here on WGR.